All right, now time once again to bring in Torin Christenhusser of the Main Street Magazine. You can find Main Street Magazine throughout our tri-state region at various pickup locations, but also their website, which is mainstreetmag.com. Good morning, Torin. How are you this morning?
Fine. How are you?
Can't complain. You know, we've had some rainy weather this week, and we've needed the rain, so what the heck? It might as well come during the week and not on the weekends.
This is true. We had a beautiful weekend as well.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. If you can get a squeeze a couple of nice days out, and then we go back to work, what the heck? Even though, once again, it didn't seem like the weekend that we normally celebrate. I mean, Salisbury Fall Festival and all the, you know, the Swasa normally does their brewski. We're missing all those events, no doubt about it, but we're getting by. So I wanted to talk a little bit about the article that is in your current history edition, right? This is the history edition, right?
Yes, this is our, I forget, second or third annual history edition that we've had now in October.
Yeah, on Main Street Magazine. And that is a story on how the old Copaic Falls Church basically was saved, restored, and being reused.
Isn't that an interesting and just wonderful story in a way? Leslie was kind enough to write this for us and tell us the whole story of the beginning to currently and what has happened in the meantime and how it had really fallen, or, you know, had fallen upon neglect, and when they brought it back and what they've done and restored it and how it's being used today. And it just goes to show that there are lots of monuments, if you will, around our area that, you know, have a very storied history and a rich history. And it's a matter of, you know, taking a minute and realizing and recognizing that, you know, the things around us, including the buildings, are, you know, part of the greatness of the area here.
You know, and when you look at that church, but then you look back, I remember years ago when Ralph Fidelli first wanted to move the building to the center of Millerton.
The Irondale Schoolhouse?
Yeah, and everybody scratched their heads and said, wow, he's crazy. They did it, and you know, it's at a beautiful location. It saves the building. It really complements the rail trail there. You look into Menia. They took the old school and turned it to a town hall. They've got a community center also where you can seat up to 300 people. There's also offices available for people, and they can do food drives inside. I mean, there's, once again, reusing a building. In Falls Village, you've got the old BB, the schoolhouse, the one-room schoolhouse that sits there. I mean, you can take these and you can use them historically, or you can turn these buildings that are really old classic buildings, save them, and recycle them.
Oh, for certain. And I mean, I know a little bit about the Irondale Schoolhouse, for example, and I used to drive by every day where it used to be, you know, north on 22, and you didn't really recognize it or realize what it was because it was kind of tucked a couple of feet off of Route 22, and it just, you know, looked sad, and, you know, or you drove by, didn't even, you know, see it. But now it's been, you know, it was amazing when they actually took it, put it on a truck and moved it down 22 and made the turn onto Main Street and plopped it down where it is today. And it's alive again.
It's alive again, and it benefits the community. And once again, it gives people who are young that live here a glimpse back at the past, and people who are moving here also an actual living glimpse at the past of a schoolhouse. So it goes along with the story on the church. And I think it's great when you get people together, you can raise the funds and have the commitment to save these old buildings. And, you know, when I moved to Kingston, where there used to be a beautiful, grand, old, round, huge, beautiful U.S. Post Office, that was torn down to make way for a Jack in the Box.
Oh, my goodness.
That was back in the early 70s where, you know, it was renovation. But you look at the pictures now and you say to yourself, there had to be a better place to put the Jack in the Box. But anyway, and because it's your history issue, C.B. Wismar, I like the way he starts off his article. We feel it only fair to offer this gentle warning before you invest a few moments reading what follows. This piece is a bit different than others we have written. It draws heavily on history, reflecting on the historical references, and, while no subtlety intended, holds a mirror to what has become almost a cliche, the moment we are in. Is it political? Yes. Is it partisan? No. Is it objective? Of course. And then you go into the story, and it really is a great story. But that is a great opening disclaimer that CP puts on that.
We, as most of our readers know, we try to stay out of political, you know, commentary. We, you know, we do some political profiles, but they're more, you know, people profiles. So my writers all know that I don't want to get, you know, our personal political opinions in here, but I thought this was very fitting for CB. And when he pitched me the story that he had found this diary, essentially, or journal of this gentleman, he said, this is a perfect, you know, fit for this issue. And it's fascinating. And he said some of the parallels between then and now is fascinating. So these entries are quite interesting and give such a snapshot of what was happening at that time and this gentleman's opinions of them.
You know, we're speaking with Oren Christendotter of the Main Street Magazine, mainstreetmag.com on the web. Last week when we finished talking, I scrolled some of the articles and I found your article on Bill Clegg. And so we got a hold of Bill Clegg because Bill tonight is going to do a book once again reading or get together for the Hotchkiss Library and Sharon 2.0. You can just go to hotchkisslibrary.org if you want to attend that event by Zoom tonight. But we start off, Thorin, about doing interviews like this. We expect to get 8-9 minutes, maybe the most. I actually had to cut the interview short at 16 to 17 minutes with Bill because, first of all, he is a gifted storyteller just talking on the phone, talking about his life and also his career. It was just a real nice interview for a local that went out, had a rough time, but ended up making it good and becoming not only a literary agent, but an author as well.
Yes, this is actually our second profile on Bill. We had profiled him many years ago in our first or second year of publishing, where we featured his first book, and now his second book is out, and that's, you know, kind of the profile that Betsy was doing, or, you know, wrote in this about his second book and the gist of it, if you will, because we're not going to give the whole thing away.
No, but he's just an interesting guy, and he has a great. I'll tell you what, he's a storyteller, and he takes his life. When I was speaking to him in a matter of 15 minutes, and really gives you an insight into how he became who he is now and what he went through, and I mean his. The first reason he took a job that basically let him out of path, I just have to say this, is a girl said to him, "Hey, I know somebody that's got this job open." And instead of painting houses and working in houses, why don't you do this job? And it basically was a life changer for him. But anyway, it's a great article. And thank you for inspiring me to do an interview with him.
Our pleasure.
Once again, tonight, the Hotchkiss Library in Sharon, if you want to Zoom in, just go to the library website and get that information. And then the article that we can wrap up with, Get Thee to the Re.
Yes. Dominique has been having a bit of adventures this spring and early fall and going to various places, as she shared a couple of articles with us so far. This time she and a friend went, you know, in the evening to just north of Millerton to the Re Institute, which is kind of an ideal place to go right now during COVID because it's an outdoor exhibit and the owner there has set it up so that, you know, you and your party, whoever you go with, you know, the chances of you running into someone are very rare. And you can enjoy art in the you know, surrounded by nature and by yourself if you want to. So it's kind of an ideal setup for these COVID times.
Well, there's no doubt about it. And I think that's one thing that we try to point out here on a daily basis is that sometimes, even though if you live in the area, you sometimes lose sight of different things, the historical things, and that you can go and do, especially as we're coming out of COVID-19, not have to worry about huge crowds and social distancing. So we live in a rather unique area with tons of unique people and tons of unique events that go on, even though a lot of them have been postponed. But it just takes a little gumption. And I think that's what a magazine like Main Street Magazine does. I think that it's there. And the great thing about it, because it's a monthly magazine, you can leave it on your table. Like a newspaper, yes, you can leave out for 3, 4, 5, 6 days a week or whatever. But this, you can leave it out. And if you're sitting around or you have people coming in, you can just go to the magazine and find a whole bunch of things to do and investigate. Just that comes right out of the magazine. So I think that's one of the main things about your magazine that I really appreciate is the way for people that live here, it still reconnects them with the area. And for people that are new here, wow, it introduces them to the area.
That has always been our main goal. And I, you know, most of the time, I'd say probably 90% of the time, we have stories that are current and relative, but they are also, you know, timeless to a certain extent, that they have relevance, you know, in a month or two. And just like you say, yes, you know, we're not a newspaper, and that's, you know, that so we can afford that luxury of focusing on these stories. But that's why our website has been so great, because there we can do things that are happening today or tomorrow and focus more on events. And so kind of, you know, leave the magazine for the more stories that have a longer shelf life, if you will.
Well, and obviously you must be in the middle or pretty close to end to getting the November issue together.
That's this week. We're working hard on it, and we'll go to press early next week. And it's our annual art and design issue, so everything, all the stories, kind of focus around that topic in some fashion. We're excited about it. It's always a good one, and you know, all the stories have been coming in nicely, and it's Madison. It's you know, people are usually very excited about it.
Well, it's Main Street Magazine, of course. Throughout the tri-state region, you can pick up the copy of the magazine, but also if you'd like, on the web, mainstreetmag.com. Thorne, we'll speak to you again next week.
Sounds great. Have a terrific week.
Take care. That is Main Street Magazine on Robin Hood Radio. Once again, find them on the web, mainstreetmag.com, and throughout the tri-state region, where you can pick up their magazine in person.